I pray that these passages that we're going to read this morning are going to touch you and encourage you as much as it does, as it do to me. So we will start by reading Philippians 4:4-9, and then we'll read Colossians 3:23-24. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it in practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Colossians 23:24. 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Let's pray. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for every time that we let fear and doubt in our faith and this world crowd into our lives and influencing our judgment, influencing our action. I pray that you would be with all of us this morning, that you would continue to support us, that you would rekindle our faith so that we could learn to trust and obey in whatever situation we may be found, that knowing that you are our fortress and you are our rock and that you will support us in everything. Be with all of us this morning, Lord. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
At the end of his concert in 1970, Jimi Hendrix smashed his guitar. Expecting something like that, the audience started cheering, shouting, and applauding until they realized that there was something terribly wrong. Suddenly, the applause stopped. Hendrix had fallen on his knees and remained in that position, motionless. He broke the stillness and the quietness by asking, "If you know real peace, I want to meet you backstage. If you know real peace, I want to meet you backstage." Apparently, nobody responded to his startling invitation. Several days later, he died from a drug overdose. He had asked for help. He had asked someone to do something to help him. He had come on his knees begging someone to do something. The title of this morning's message is "Do Something." Hendrix had everything most people want except real peace. Even though people talk about peace and joy these days, yet the world is sinking deeper and deeper in despair and loneliness. Most of the calls I receive right after the message on the radio, after someone picks up a tract, is by people crying out for help. People who are asking, how can I deal with this situation? How can I deal with my doubting heart? What can I do to get out of this mess? And it seems the Christians are not doing very much to reach out and touch these people in real need. Do something. Apostle Paul wrote to the believers, "My brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord does not mean feel high when something happens. Rejoice in the Lord doesn't mean when everything is going fine. Jimi Hendrix had everything. Everything was going great. And yet he was hungry for peace. In Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 1, we just read, "My brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And then he repeats, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. That's chapter 4, verse 4. Always rejoice. What is missing today is real peace. What is missing today is real joy. Yeah, we get excited when we watch a movie or watch a game, or when we have a relationship with someone, or we eat a good meal or drink something or whatever. But that only helps the emptiness to grow bigger and bigger unless it's filled with the presence of Jesus Christ. Jimi Hendrix was asking someone to point him to Jesus, and yet no one either knew him or did not move or do something to help him. Apostle Paul was experiencing real peace under all kinds of circumstances, including suffering. In Philippians 4:7 we read, "And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ." Why does Paul say which transcends all understanding? It's because the world does not understand what we're talking about. The world does not understand how can you be at peace. And it reminds me of the competition. There was a competition of who was going to draw the best possible picture to show peace, what peace is all about. And there were all kinds of submissions there. Everyone drew something. And the picture, the drawing, the painting that won was the drawing of a turbulent sea. The waves were hitting the shore and the rocks. And it was dark. And yet there was a little hole, a cranny, and there was a little bird just singing as if nothing was happening. Well, that's what it is when you have Christ in your life. And that's why Paul says, "I will say it again, rejoice in the Lord." Apostle Paul was a man of action. He wasn't a wimp. He wasn't someone who was running away. As a matter of fact, he was one of the greatest assets the temple had, or the religious people had. He was the hitman of the organization. So here you have a man that had all kinds of powers and authority. And when he met Jesus, his life changed. He did not run away or hide from challenges and duty, but in the contrary, he worked hard to advance the gospel no matter what. He did not fear the future. The problem with many of us is fear. What is my mother going to say? What is my dad is going to say? What are my children going to do and say? What the society will say? What the church members will say? But Apostle Paul said, I only want to know one thing, and I want to preach only one thing, and Christ and Him crucified. He did not hold back. Too many people, he may have thought, could have thought, need Christ. I'm only one. That's how I feel sometimes. There are too many people that need help. Too many people that are going through a difficult period of time. Emotional problems, spiritual problems, monetary problems, sickness. Who am I to help, I say to the Lord. But Apostle Paul saw the entire picture, the entire world, and he said, use me, God. His actions reflected his faith and commitment to Christ. What about my actions? What about your actions? Now, no one wants to hear a preacher, a teacher, point a finger and say, what about you? Because that becomes very personal. No one wants to be put on the spot and ask the question, what about you? But I do that when I prepare the message and I feel inadequate. And that's when I come to my knees. And that's when I humble myself and say, Lord, I really need to be revived. I really need to get the joy that you bring in the life of a believer. What is missing in our life is the joy. Joy. The following do something words will help us help and enrich your Christian life. First, do something for Jesus that stretches you. There may be some pain when stretching out. Do something for Jesus. What have you done for Jesus? What have I done for Jesus in the past week? In the past day? All of us also are so preoccupied with things that concern us. And I agree with you that there are so many things that we have to deal with. We have to deal with ourselves, with our pain, with our emotional problems, with our spiritual problems, with the problem with the problems at home, my wife, my husband, my children, my job, all kinds of things. So I have no time for God. My first priority is me, Lord, people think. My first priority is my job. My first priority is my relationship with my wife or husband. And you know what? Your relationship with your husband and wife are very important. It's very important. Your relationship with your employer is very important. Your job is very important. But should not be your first priority. Because when things are right with God, then everything else falls in its right place. Do something for Jesus that stretches you. Not when you have a little bit of time left. Not few dollars that are left. Not few activities that you can spare some time. But that stretches you. Then do something to enrich and strengthen your Christian life. Do something for your Christian life. You've done something for your body. I hope. You're doing something for your diet. I hope. You're doing something for your relationship at home. That's very good. You're doing something for your work. That's very good. But do something for your own spiritual life. Sometimes when I tell people you should become selfish, they say, Pastor, what are you talking about? How can the Bible says we should not be selfish? But when it comes to your own soul, when it becomes to your own eternal life, be selfish and take good care of your soul, or else you won't be able to be helpful to anyone. Do something to strengthen your Christian life. Get serious about studying the Bible. I don't know how many of you have time. We live in a very busy world. We have busy schedules. We get up in the morning. We gotta run to work or go to school. No time for Bible. And then at night we are so tired that we fall asleep. But if that is the attitude with spiritual food, you can imagine what it would be if that was your attitude with physical food. If you didn't eat in the morning, at noon, at night, you would not survive for too long. So how can you believe or think that you can survive spiritually unless you feed your spirit with spiritual food? Start thinking and memorizing Bible verses. You know what? Even when things don't go very well, sometimes what helps me is by either memorizing or at least remembering some verses, even though I may misquote that verse, I know what the verse is there. Or I'll take a hymn and I'll go into my room and start singing that hymn because that will uplift my soul. Make a list of your blessings and thank God for them. And you know, I have tried this, and I'm not trying to be proud of myself, but I do it all day. I get up in the morning, I look out, and I thank God for the sun. I thank God, God for the trees, for the birds, and then I go to my business, and I thank God for the ability to walk and to see and to hear and to be able to speak and to be able to say something or think something. There are trillions of things that we take for granted. And if we would all pay attention to all these beautiful things, even the pain, someone preaching said, thank God for pain. And I said, what is he talking about? And he explained, if you don't feel any pain when you hurt yourself, you will die eventually because there will be a big problem there. Make a list of your blessings and thank God for them. Put away all bitterness and anger. Forgive everyone. Now, I find Christians, we have a problem with forgiving everyone. We can forgive those who don't hurt us that much. But then there are those who cannot and will not, they will not even think of forgiving someone that has hurt their feelings. And you know what? If you are not willing to forgive one person, then don't expect God to forgive you. Remember the story of this master who forgave the $10,000 that someone owed him until this man went out and took someone from his throat and said, you owe me $10. Unless you pay me the $10, I'll throw you in prison, and threw him in prison. When his master heard that, called the other man and threw him in prison. So that's how it is. If you're not willing to forgive your brother or someone, how can you expect God to forgive you? Third, do something for your family. First was, do something for Jesus that stretches you. Second, do something to enrich and strengthen your Christian life. Third, do something for your family. If you owe an apology to a family member, make sure you apologize. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, I feel good now. But that's not what it is. It's not sorry. And sometimes we add sorry if I hurt you or something. And if then it's not sorry. You know that you hurt the person, and for that you are sorry. And I know people say, well, now this person has never apologized to me. This person never acknowledges his mistakes. But the problem is his problem. That your problem is not being able to forgive this person. If you forgive, guess what's going to happen? You'll feel better. You'll be forgiven. God will be willing to forgive you. So, Do something for your family. Express appreciation for what loved ones do for you. I am guilty very often of telling my wife the food is too salty, too sweet, not cooked, all this. And then the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you preach it from the pulpit. And then you come home and you tell your wife. And then I feel so terrible and guilty. And you know what? Yes, our life is like that. We go through all kinds of situations. But the bottom line is we must acknowledge, and I'm acknowledging it publicly, that I've done it and I have apologized to my wife often. But you know what? We must also give credit to those who deserve credit. Even if there isn't anything obvious, you find something to give some kind of appreciation. Hug your children and tell them you love them. Sometimes you may not have children. Hug your wife, hug your husband, hug your neighbor. I don't know. Hug someone. Just say, I appreciate you. Hug your parents or parent. Or call or write to them and thank them for love and prayers or for something they have done to help you. This is doing something for the family in a Christian's life. Help family members develop their talents. Stop complaining and start giving compliments. Start or continue daily devotions with family members. I believe you've heard the saying, the family that prays together stays together. Believe it or not, there have been times that we may have disagreed. I may have disagreed with my wife about something, and we sort of feel not so great. But when we get together for the devotional time and we read the Bible and we pray, I believe the Holy Spirit works in us. The fourth thing is do something for your church. First, do something for Jesus that stretches you. Second, do something to enrich and strengthen your Christian life. Third, do something for your family. And fourth, do something for your church. The church is the family of believers. You are a member of that family. Write a letter of appreciation to a teacher, musician, worker, or leader. Volunteer to a need the church has. Churches today are looking for volunteers. And if volunteers don't come forward, then all the work falls on one or two people. Offer to use your car to bring people to church. Now you say, well, in these days, Pastor, it's expensive, gas is expensive, and you know, tires wear out. But you know what? Jesus emptied himself from his glory and came to this earth to give you eternal life. So, is it too much to pay for a little gas or use your car for his glory? Offer to use your car, not only because you feel pity, but because this is service to God. Visit people who are in physical or spiritual difficulties and advise the church leadership for any needs, questions, or help. Increase your giving if you can. Refuse to participate in gossip or criticism of members and leaders. I'm sorry. One of the things that destroys a relationship, one of the things that destroys a church is gossiping. Gossiping. You may call it a prayer request, you may call it whatever you want, but if it's not a real prayer request, it's gossip. Church leadership for any needs, questions, or help, need your participation. Refuse to participate in things that will destroy the church. Use your talents to help and edify the church and our Lord. Join or start a prayer group of revival. Then, do something to fulfill your responsibility for evangelism is the fifth thing. Invite friends and neighbors to church. Visit a lonely person who needs Christ. Start giving out tracts daily if possible. Pray for the special needs of missionaries and workers in the church. Paul writes, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Finally, stop being part-time Christian. It is a great honor to be a full-time Christian. A part-time employee does not have any job security benefits, but a full-time employee enjoys all kinds of benefits. A true believer in Christ is a full-time member of the mighty army of God. And you all know and remember the hymn, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Onward Christian Soldier is the title of the hymn. But sad to say that often this is not true with the churches today. Let it start being true in you and me. Let us live and act as members of the mighty family of God. It is the greatest honor to be a child of God, our Creator and Lord. Apostle Paul says, and I conclude with this verse, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us the ability or the right, the privilege to come to You for help and guidance and protection. Lord, I pray this morning for the joy of my salvation. I pray for everyone here to be filled with that joy and to remain in our heart. May the Holy Spirit mend our lives, change our lives, and enable us to be a light wherever we are. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.